Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, James Williams.
Oh, hey, Joe Elvin.
What are you doing on September 16th?
Well, the London Podcast Festival is on, Joe, and they've only got an invited Hey It's Okay along. Don't make us sit in a pod cupboard all alone, dear listeners. Come and see me and Joe and a fabulous celebrity guest putting the world to right.
Get your tickets at kingsplace.co.uk. They're selling out fast. See you there. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Glamour's Hey It's Okay, the podcast that's, I think, the best cupboard-based podcast in this and any other known universes, and that is absolutely no exaggeration. You can take that from me. I'm Joe Elvin. I'm the editor-in-chief of Glamour, and I'm also your host. Today, I am joined by Podcupboard stud himself, Deputy Editor James Williams, and actual television royalty in Jenna Coleman, and we're going to be talking about all sorts of really quite heavy things, like everything from revenge to whether or not we're just done making friends. Are we done with it? So stay tuned. The best cupboard-based podcast in the galaxy.
Because the competition is quite stiff.
Well, you don't know. Well, I bet it is.
We don't know what kind of circumstances people are recording their podcast. I mean, some people do it in bed, apparently. Yes. Some very successful ones are recorded in bed.
Yes. What about you, Jenna Coleman? Where do you do your podcast?
Have you done one before, Jenna?
No.
How exciting.
Oh. This is my first podcast and my first podcast in a cupboard.
Well,
welcome.
Thank you.
Welcome, Jenna Coleman. We are so excited to have you here.
Thank you very much.
Every time I tease on Instagram or Twitter and say, oh, doing a very exciting cover shoot, whether it's in LA or London or Woking or Manchester, I get about 5 bazillion people going, oh, can it please be Jenna Coleman? Please let it be Jenna Coleman. You got the most rabid fans of any cover girl I can think of.
Is that a Doctor Who hangover? Have you always had those fans, Jenna, do you think?
I think it's definitely stems from Doctor Who, I think. Yeah, for sure.
They are a unique brand, aren't they, of like fans. They're so like excitable.
Very passionate fans. Yeah. Very passionate, yep.
You look a bit scared saying that. Are you all right?
No, I was trying to find the right adjective.
If you need help, just give me a signal.
But I mean, they won't leave me alone. But, I don't mean that.
No. Don't leave us.
Don't upset them.
Parents, really.
We want them to listen. We want them to tune in and listen. Yes. But I guess we have to ask them, obviously, the big news about Jodie, obviously being, you know, I mean, how exciting. We were literally all messaging each other going, oh my God, this is major. How did you feel about it?
Did you know by the walk it was a woman? I'm quite interested in that. You know, did you see the video where she unveiled?
Yeah, I didn't, to be honest. I have to say I was a bit slow on the uptake.
No, I didn't know that. But I don't know. It felt like if it wasn't going to happen this time, it never was going to happen.
And I hate to say, I just thought it was never going to happen. I have to say, I just thought it was one of those things they just never would go that far. And I feel like they would never have a female James Bond. I just thought it's amazing. And I think she's a perfect choice.
Well, it's interesting because it's if they were ever going to go down that route, and you know, I'd always get asked if it was going to be a woman, who would it be? Or in my head, it would be like Helena Bonham Carter-esque or somebody. But then as soon as I saw
Jodie, eccentricity, somebody
who can get that kind of mercurial that mercurial nature, I guess. But yeah, Jodie is it's really exciting, and it's so exciting, I think, because it's Jodie, and yeah. She's such a dexterous actress. I've seen her do so many different things, exactly. And be so different in so many roles.
Because I think it's a bit like whenever you cast somebody, and I think that's what's always interesting about Bond and Bond girls. They would never cast somebody too famous because you have to believe them in that role.
Yeah.
And I think that's what's really clever about Jodie, where she's such a brilliant actress, but she's not, you know, you don't think about as one role in particular. So she can just go into that role and make it her own, I think.
Yeah,
so
that's true, actually. You don't think of her as Jodie before you can watch her, I guess. So.
But anyway, what about your show? Yeah, we're here to talk about you.
Yeah, I mean, winter's here.
Yeah.
Forget the other show. And that's not the show I'm talking about. I'm talking about, obviously, Victoria.
Yeah.
No. But it means, you know, it means autumn, winter. We can all start getting cozy. Victoria's back. Which we're very excited.
Yeah, I mean, I've just finished filming Christmas. So I'm feeling very wintry this August.
Welcome to our world.
We're on the January issue.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh,
just about. Yeah.
You're making resolutions.
Yeah. Oh, no, I'll never do that. Do you do that?
Every year they're pretty much the same. In fact, one year was take more photographs.
Oh.
And that was a pretty, I thought that was quite a good one. And then the others have been like, learn French, play piano.
Every year in Glamour, I write that I'm going to try and learn Italian. And every year I learn I know how to order a beer, maybe. Very, very useful when I go to Milan. But
we need to just make you start writing your Ed's letter in Italian for the Jan issue, just to see if it gets better
every
year.
Good idea, James. Yeah.
Google Translate.
Yeah. Can you imagine what might come up?
Well.
So, but you've finished Victoria.
Yeah.
How was that? As I just said to you, you said you were sort of like obsessed with modern things, but you have managed to turn up in a slightly Victorian-y,
I know,
very nice shirt, but it's got the pie crust collar.
Little nod.
It's infiltrating my life, clearly. No, it's a funny thing when you wrap, though, because we've been filming since February. So when you wrap a job instantly, I've got a couple of things that I do. I always like sort out my house, and then I always want to dye my hair. And then it's like dressing. I forget how to dress for ages. And it's like a whole thing. I think it's about just not being in costume for a change.
Yeah.
Is really fun.
But is it like being on your school holiday now? It's like, yeah, term time's over.
A little bit. A little, yeah.
Although now, of
course,
you're now in promo mode.
Yeah.
We're doing promo and also ADR, like going a bit like this, going into well, nothing like this, but there's a microphone.
Yeah.
But otherwise, exactly the same.
Just tell me that it's just like this. Yeah.
Nowhere near as much fun as this, right?
Or as professional, yeah, at all, yeah.
But, going on from Doctor Who, I mean, did you ever think you'd have two such massive shows? Because it really has, I think, for a show this one series in, I really feel like Victoria's really carved a niche in terms of people's affections, and that's got that Sunday night Downton slot everyone talks about.
Yeah.
You know, it really feels like it's far more established in many ways than just one season deep. It must be quite amazing to be part of another huge show with such a huge sort of loyal fan base.
Yeah, I didn't. It's funny because you kind of get a sense. You have no idea, especially when you're starting a show from scratch. And I literally rolled from Doctor Who, and I think there was maybe 2-3 weeks of like quick learn how to horse ride,
wow,
learn the accent, learn how to dance and German opera and things like that.
It's like finishing school, basically.
Yeah, finishing school. from sci-fi green screen world. But yeah, you definitely get a sense from people that you meet because there's a real genuine want to talk about the show and parts they enjoy. So you kind of get a feeling that you think it's going down well. Yeah. Unless people are just completely lying.
Well, there's always a risk, Jenna. No, but I think the ratings don't lie, though, do they?
No.
Let's be honest.
Yeah, yeah. It's good. It's been a good return, I guess.
Yeah. But is it also, I mean, also, do you know how many seasons you've signed up for? Do you know how long it's going to go on for? Because I guess that's the question.
Because she became very old.
Yeah.
So, you know, you could be in this for a long time. Yeah. Did you consider that?
No. I went to Kensington Palace where you see Victoria when she's younger and her dresses are like unbelievably tiny, you wouldn't believe. And then you go into the next section and suddenly it's like after Albert dies, they're like literally 10 times as big.
And 400 kids. How many kids did she have?
Nine.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. Yeah. I'm on baby number... four is on the way.
And
wow.
You're looking marvellous on it.
Thank you so much.
Because that's the thing, she had them in such quick succession, didn't we?
Oh my goodness.
Excuse the pun, but I mean, really...
I think she had something like 4 children in 5 years to begin with.
But I think once,
and she's 4'11", 9 children.
Well, it's always hilarious to me because, you know, the age of the prude, the Victorian times, you know, and, like, ironically, She just never stopped. She was at it the whole time.
But I think this is what's really good about the show, actually, because I think there would have been a very much... If it had been made in Hollywood, I would imagine there would have been a sort of need to try and make out that she was this hugely maternal woman that loved her kids. But actually, she wasn't really that into the kids. And it was more the fact that she was just totally into Albert, wasn't she? They were like a byproduct of basically her lust for Albert and each other.
When she was talking in her honeymoon period, she wrote, having a baby, getting caught is what she called it, is the only thing I dread about having children. Yeah. I think she did love them, but she just did not want to be pregnant. She was on her honeymoon.
Nobody wanted to be pregnant 9 times, did they?
Well, no. No, I did it once. I love my child. I did not like being pregnant.
Really? Yeah. That's so interesting.
Yeah, and, you know, I think that's one of those things you're not supposed to say. But this is where
really
Queen Victoria and I have a lot in common.
But but also in her day, it was almost like, you know, you were put to bed for like months afterwards.
And well, it could be life-threatening.
The first episode, wasn't it?
Yeah,
it
was, she was confined.
Yeah,
but it's
confinement.
So interesting. Because one of my best friends was pregnant recently, and actually two of them, and one had a great pregnancy and loved it. And the other friend, like 4 months in, she was like, why does everybody lie to you?
Yeah.
This is awful. Why does nobody talk about the
and
real
then
stuff?
And there's all those baby magazines that where there's got the diary of a pregnancy, and there's always a woman going, It's the morning of week 16 and my skin is glowing and my hair is lustrous and I'm so full of life and joy. And you're thinking, nobody actually, there's not one woman in these magazines going, I just want to go to bed and stay there for 6 months.
Yeah, and eat toast.
Yeah.
No, and I think that's the other thing about it is, from what I can gather from my friends have all said, it's a real lottery. You just don't know. There's no rhyme or reason to if it's going to be a good or bad, you know, if you're going to be eating constantly, being sick constantly. It's just a total lottery as to how you're going to feel.
I don't know how we got onto this. I know. Sorry about that. Anyway. Something to do with Queen Victoria. But so tell me, what is it like? Because I think I've been really enjoying sort of the behind the scenes pictures of Game of Thrones, where it's all sort of like medieval and then they're all sitting around with their cell phones. You know, what's it like backstage behind the scenes of Victoria? Is there a WhatsApp group? Do you watch Netflix?
There is a WhatsApp group, actually. In fact, what we ended with this year was, I don't know if you're familiar with a game called Teabag Darts.
No, it sounds rude.
No.
Right.
No.
Okay.
It just makes people extremely competitive.
Ooh. Right.
So what is it?
I guess this is what happens after you've done 7 months of filming. But in the canteen, you would get paper cups and salitate them to the wall. And then you have to try and get tea bags in them.
Ah.
And it's like a game of darts. And then you get points for different
wet
ones.
Wet tea bags or dry tea bags?
Dry tea bags.
Now that's harder. Hard.
Yeah.
Is like
now wet, I'm impressed.
Wet tea bags is for like beginners. This is like a super advanced dry tea bag.
And it gets really competitive. I mean, there was a lot of.
So who's top of the leaderboard?
Well, it kept getting wiped, but Tony from Costume was on top of the leaderboard, much to Tom's frustration.
How did you get on with the tea bag? Where are you on the sort of, you know, are you on the rostrum?
No, yeah, I'm on the rostrum. Oh. I'm maybe a three or, I think I was like third or fourth in like
consistent.
The last game that I played.
How do you get the velocity in a dry tea bag?
Is it a wrist action?
She's giving it a real wrist action now. It's really impressive. Do it again so that Kat can get it.
Could you see the competitive nature in my eyes?
There could be some sort of Victoria spin-off merchandise, like, you know, teabag
darts.
Yeah.
Who knew?
There you go.
And also, kids as well, in between scenes. It's like the canteen becomes like chaos with children running around. That's what else goes on behind the scenes.
See, that's where you need a wet teabag. Yeah. Sit down or I'm going to throw this. So this is Hey It's Okay, and we're here with Jenna Coleman and James Williams of Glamour. Jenna's not of Glamour. Well, she kind of, sometimes she is.
We like to feel you are. You're a cover girl, a recent
extended
cover girl.
Extended Glamour family.
She is. A Glamour Award winner.
Yes.
Yes. No, she's family.
Yeah, totally. So we're going to invite you for the first time to what's kind of, these podcasts are sort of like a Glamour features meeting.
Yeah.
Where we end up discussing and quite often arguing about all the same sort of stuff that we argue about.
Really important things.
You know, yeah, really important things. Now, I wanted to start, this is my idea because I've been watching avidly the new Taylor Swift video for Look What You Made Me Do. And it's sort of, it's an extreme, the most unsubtle catalogue of references to everybody who's pissed her off in the last year. Or, you know, sort of, and it's, you know, it's everything from dancers wearing the I Love TS shirts that Tom Hiddleston wore to some people saying, interpreting it as making fun of the burglary that Kim Kardashian suffered earlier this year. I mean, it's really sort of like hammering home all of these sort of like settling all these scores. So I was wondering, is it okay to actually want to exact revenge. I don't know. I think it's a bit of a waste of energy myself. And I love Taylor Swift. Anyone who reads Glamour and looks at my tweets knows that I'm a huge fan. But I feel like she's sort of like undermined her own power a little bit in that making now everybody knows how much she really cared and how much people like Kanye really got under her skin. And so I'm not down with seeking revenge.
I mean, in many ways, I kind of respect her sort of commitment to this because, you know, she really has taken it to quite an extreme level.
But it's maniacal.
Yeah, but I guess really, I think we were talking about it earlier, Jen, and in the world of music, I think it's not, you can be really quite unsubtle with your music videos. It's kind of part and parcel of, I think, the pop video history. So it can be something really out there. And lots of people do put, you know, their life into their lyrics and they put it into their videos. And I think she's also, I would say, she does massively take the piss out of herself with this video.
True.
So it's not even like, it's not like she's just out there saying, oh, all these people are mean to me and I'm lovely. She's actually been quite vicious to herself and to some of her previous guises.
Fair.
But I will go back to your original point, Joe. My initial reaction to this topic was, I can't be bothered.
Yeah.
I mean, in a way, I kind of admire people who could be, who can actually hang on to a grudge and be really, you know, take so much time out of their day, because I'm one of those people that I'll say, right, that person's really upset me, I'm not talking to them. And then you'll walk in and I'll just forget and I'll just start talking to you again. I can't even bear a grudge for like 10 seconds, let alone, you know, go away, make a video, write an album about it, you know. So, you know, I'm torn. I kind of admire her sort of tenacity, but I could never do
maybe,
it myself.
Maybe if I could make millions out of my revenge, I would possibly reconsider.
But I haven't actually seen it. So Taylor, I can't really comment on that. But I think obviously revenge is quite a dark thing.
Yeah.
However, if you're going to have some form of revenge, I suppose doing it in a music video is quite a funny way to do it.
I mean,
it's the ultimate shit.
Showing my age, I was about to say, remember like the days of Britney Spears and Justin Timberlake and those songs and things like that.
But that's a good example.
That's not showing your age, Jenna. Do not worry. Yeah. Do not worry.
But that is a great example. People are always doing it, aren't they? Trying to look for mysterious digs in people's videos. But yeah, I guess this is just, in a way, it's kind of unashamedly so.
I guess in music as well, you know, the way to cut through and to, you don't really make the same sort of 10 yacht money that you used to make from pop music, and you only make enough to buy one yacht now. So the way to kind of cut above all that noise is to have everybody talking like this, have everybody talking about you on social media, have those really unsubtle references that get played over and over again in memes and GIFs and what have you. But I guess relating it to my own life, I don't know, there's been probably a couple of times where I thought, oh my God, that's such a betrayal. Mm-hmm. And I think I might have about a day or two of having a revenge fantasy. Mm-hmm. But even if I got to do something Machiavellian in response, it doesn't change how bad you felt. It doesn't take away that thing that happened to you. So I'm not really up for it.
And I guess the energy it takes to actually think up that, come up with it, put it into action. By the time you've done that, I guess hope you'd kind of be over it.
But even on a very basic level, it takes a lot of energy just to stay in a bad mood with somebody. You know what I mean? Just to actually hang on to that bad mood and that pissed off attitude. It's like, I've had it too exhausting. It's like, you know, I mean, I'm not some sort of weird old hippie or anything, but I just think it's not good for you, is it? If you're that fixated on literally revenge and getting one back on somebody.
I love that you forget.
I'm literally like Dory from Finding Nemo when it comes to like,
I'm annoyed at you.
Who am I angry with?
That can be very useful. I did get fired once many, many years ago and stewed and was very upset and bitter about it. And it was all very unfair. And then about a year later, they asked me to take my old job back. And so that was closure, not revenge, but closure.
Yeah.
Because obviously I said no. But
I mean, also in a way that if somebody is pissed off with you, I'd rather them do something really dramatic like Taylor Swift and make it very clear they're pissed off with you. I hate those people that have like that really weird like beef with you. But you think you're imagining it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Just going,
they're just silent.
Did they just give me some shade or is it in my head? I mean, be really clear. If you're pissed off, I'm really pissed off and here's what I'm
going to... No, I do that.
I give subtle shade.
Yeah, I do. I'm just sort of like, you know, if I'm very short with you, if I'm cordial with you, then you know. Cordial. Yeah,
many thanks. That's never a good end to any email, especially from a friend. Many thanks or cordially. Yeah. You're like, what? Why are you talking about that?
Yeah.
See, terrifying politeness.
Yeah, that's a very British form of revenge, isn't it? Being so British.
I'm just going to be so polite to you, I'm going to terrify you.
Look at Jenna, as if anyone's ever done anything horrible to Jenna. That's the thing, isn't it?
Look at that face. No, you couldn't, could you?
You couldn't, no.
No.
I can't think of any... I think revenge. I don't know. It's not in my nature.
No. It's a ball ache, right? It's just a lot of work.
I think you are that kind of person, or you're not. I think it's a bit like Marmite.
Yeah.
You know, you either are a revenge person or you're not. I mean, you know, that's pretty much where we all stand. I think on
here
that
endeth
one.
All our careers in soap operas. Right now.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Right, now we're sort of like slightly possibly going down a bit of a bitter track today, but we're going to pull it back, everybody. Don't lose the will to live on your commute just yet. But Jenna Coleman, is it okay to be just done with making friends?
No.
Okay, thank you. Next.
No. Yeah. No, it's not okay. I've got lots of old friends. Luckily, all my school friends live down in London, who I've known since we're about 13, 14. And having recently turned 30, and in kind of one zone of work for a while, I think it's so important to keep making friends. I'm on the hunt for some friends. So no, I don't think it's okay.
You're in the market for some new friends.
I want some new friends. You're keeping to my old friends.
You're keeping the old ones. You're just looking
they can
to
stay.
Yeah.
But
it's
I also
a hugely
want new friends.
Dangerous thing for you to just put the call out.
Those Doctor Who fans are now getting very excited right now.
What's your criteria? What do you need in a friend?
Or what's the gap in the market? Because you've clearly got really old friends. What kind of
I want
skills?
Friends. It's friends who I want some to travel. I feel
holiday
like I'm putting
friends.
Out an ad. It's like I'm putting out an ad for friends.
Yeah. Here's Jenna. She's 30. Yeah. She's recently turned 30. She likes
she
traveling,
rides
cooking.
Horses.
Yeah. Yeah. I do think this is what happens when you've been filming away for a while, because you're in such one kind of closed world for ages. And then suddenly you're like, oh, God, I want to talk to somebody else who does something else.
I think it's interesting. I would have thought of all the sort of industries, acting.
Meet a lot of people.
Yeah. And I've probably made most of my really good friends through work.
Yeah.
And you know, but I've not had that many jobs, to be honest. I mean, I've worked at like 4 or 5 places, but I've taken people with me and from university and then obviously from school.
Yeah.
And I would have thought if I was an actor, for example, all the different projects, well, because obviously I'd be a very successful actor working on lots of different projects. But you know, the more projects you work on, the more sort of magpie-ish you'd be in terms of picking up more and more friends.
Yeah. I've picked up a couple of lifers like along the way from each different jobs and stuff. But I think what it is I think the great thing about London, I did a stint in LA a little while ago, and I just remember getting back being like, oh my goodness, sit in the pub and talk about something else. Yeah. And I think that's what's so lovely about my group of friends that I have as well, who have different careers and different things
going on.
That's
the thing, LA, it's such a single track. It's a business town, and it's a show business town, and that's what everybody's
there
for.
But also, regardless of your job, I think you do, just to truly switch off, it's healthy to have friends from totally unrelated to your industry or to your line of work, whether you're a teacher, a doctor, a journalist. You know, you don't want to sit there talking shop all the time, do you? And but it's really funny, because I'm pretty much, my friends have now pretty much put me on a ban on making any more friends. I'm not allowed.
Are you a person with loads of Facebook friends?
And he is the podcast listener's favourite as well. He just can't help himself.
No, the thing is, I think...
You're smiling. You look guilty.
No, I think one of those people... It's taken me a long time to say no. So I've been quite good at...
Like, no, I won't be your friend.
Or no, I won't go to your birthday. Or no, I won't go to your wedding. So I've always been quite, I guess... Loyal, people would say. I always turn up. It makes it sound terrible, like I'm some sort of old dog. But, you know, if you invite me, I'll be there. What time? You know, I'm a consistent, not one of these flaky people.
Yeah.
So I guess there's that reason. But also, it's now interesting because obviously you go on dates, like, you know, internet dating. And all my friends would be like, yeah, but if it's a friend, if it, you're friend zoning, you can't be a friend. You should be very clear. If it's not going to be romantic, it's not going to happen. You know what I mean? So it's like, I'm literally on a ban now. I can't make any more friends.
Well, I think when it comes to dating, that's probably good advice.
Yeah, true.
Yeah. You haven't got time for everybody.
No, and I barely got time for everyone, you know, as it is. So, but it does make then the dating quite ruthless because you're literally like, yeah. I'm just here for some yeah. romance or I'm not here for a friend. Sorry. It sounds awful.
I don't think so.
No, I guess not. But
just explain you've been banned by your other friends.
That's true. But yeah, but it's also it's about your time and the quality you want to spend, you know, of the time you want to spend with your existing friends.
A phenomenon that I never would have thought would happen to me at all, but it has happened a few times now, is I've made friends via social media.
Mm.
And I used to think that sounded like the most shallow, terrible thing. And not all of those friendships are deep, meaningful, the lifer type that you would say, but they're fun and they're, you know, sometimes useful. That's something that I never would have thought would happen.
Well, it certainly opened your world up to a whole different kind of friendship yeah. group, you know. And I think, I do think that's, all joking aside, one of my friends also used to say, you know, you make all your friends by the age of 30, which yeah. is in contrast to what you said, Jenna.
That's what I think is really interesting, because yeah. I think that's the expectation in a way.
Yeah, it's that you should have it all sorted and sussed by this certain age. But I think also, ultimately, if you get to a point when you're just closing your mind off to opportunities, well, life's not really worth living, really, is it? You have to always maintain, the door's got to be slightly ajar. Mm-hmm. I think.
But who made that rule? I'd not heard that rule until you two discussing
really?
That today.
Well, this is my friend yeah. Andrew Joe, who you know, who's a big fan of the podcast.
Hi,
so he will be listening. I'm probably wetting himself. He's finally got a mention on the podcast. But it was actually, his 29th. I met him on a holiday. And again, famous rule, you never actually stay friends with people you meet on holiday, do mm-hmm. you? You kind of hang out for 10 days. It's this really sort of intense, like almost like a love affair. And then you go back to your normal lives and never
and
keep in touch
ever
again.
And then you see them wearing a shell suit and that's it. Yeah.
But we met on holiday and he made this gag about, oh, I'm 30, but you know, I've probably made all my good friends now. And that was almost like a challenge for me. I was like, no, I'm going to make you my friend. And you know, 7 years later, we're very, very dear friends indeed. But yeah, I always hold him accountable for saying that you make all your big good friendships by the age
of
30.
You were just so wrong, Andrew.
You were, Andrew.
Do you know who I made friends with on holiday when I was 12? This is a good I met Charlotte Church and we were complete buddies
really?
In Ibiza when we were 12 years old.
No.
And it was pre all of her.
I was going to say, was she Charlotte Church or was she?
No, she was singing in the evenings at the hotel just with her family and we became really good friends. But at this time, I didn't know, obviously, that she was such a great singer. So the karaoke was on and I was 12 years old and she said, come up and sing with me. And it was New York, New York. And I was like, yeah, or Wake Me Up Before You Go-Go. I can't remember which. I was like, yeah, great. And I remember being stood on stage and suddenly 12-year-old Charlotte Church started to sing opera next to me.
Amazing.
And I absolutely died yeah. and I don't think I've ever done karaoke since.
Wow. That is the story of the podcast of the year.
Yeah, we're done here. Our work here is done.
What did you say to her? Did you say, thanks a lot, mate? You could have told me that, you know.
What a ringer. Charlotte Church is a ringer.
So also, all I remember is I'm going to hit that high. And I remember that high. And I remember
and you went, hi!
Being yeah. speechless.
But be honest, though, objectively, can you sing at all?
Oh, I can, you know, like yeah. shower sing.
Yeah. There's singing and then there's Charlotte Church singing, isn't
exactly.
there?
Exactly, exactly.
Have you seen us since?
No, and I think we've nearly met up because obviously she lives in Cardiff.
I think you need to get your revenge.
Oh my God.
We stayed in touch for a little while and then it got to the point of, sorry, Charlotte's not at home because she's singing for the president this weekend or something like that. But we did stay in touch for a little while and we've never seen each other since.
So you met where? On holiday?
She was my holiday friend, yeah.
That's amazing.
That's so adorable.
Yeah.
Right, we've got to make this happen. We're going to make this reunion happen.
Yeah.
That's brilliant. Well, yeah, I think we're done on this subject, Joe. There's nothing more
oh
we can add.
Oh, my God. You need to revisit the old friend. Don't make any new ones.
Yeah.
Just get that one.
No,
we do
back.
Love Charlotte at Glamour.
We do indeed.
She's my birthday twin. One of the things I do when I really need an ego massage is to read your amazing reviews on iTunes. Please do keep them coming. Do subscribe to Glamour Hates Okay in iTunes and review us, because it really helps our rating and it just means that we can keep doing the podcast every week. So thank you so much. And if I ever read out your review, and it doesn't have to be... It doesn't have to be positive, does it?
Or sycophantic.
But somehow they just all are glowingly amazing. And I can only conclude that there's no faults whatsoever with this podcast. But if we do read out your review, then I will be also sending you a little present and a prize in gratitude. And I don't know if it's Pink the pop star, but somebody called Pink has left a review. So it might be her. You never know.
It probably is.
Yeah. But anyway, thank you for this, Pink. It says, hey, it's okay. So I get strange looks when I'm sat in traffic laughing or making bizarre facial expressions listening to your podcast. I don't always know who your guests are at the start of the podcast, but by the end of it, I'm intrigued enough to find out more. Thank you for making my commute more bearable, and making me aware of some great and interesting new people. Aww. Thanks for that, Pink.
Thanks, Pink.
And yeah, so this is Jenna. She's quite famous, so I don't think there's any problems there today. On the home stretch, Jenna, we'll let you out of the pod cupboard very soon.
It does get warm in here, Jenna, so yeah. We need to give you some air after a while.
Happy but, in the pod cupboard.
Okay. Hey, stick around. We won't make you sing.
Thank you.
So anyway, Jenna, James, is it okay to be really, like, ridiculously proud of the actually tiny adult milestones?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Don't you think?
Hell yeah.
I mean, I think I may have suggested this because I...
Yeah, what are the milestones?
Well, actually, this goes back to New Year's resolutions, actually, Joe, talking about those earlier. And I remember about 4 or 5 years ago, I made the tiniest New Year's resolution. And it was I was going to make my bed every day, regardless of how late I was, if I was hungover, if I was just not feeling it, I was just going to do it. And I've stuck to it. And I have to say, psychologically, the benefits of... getting home and knowing you're getting into a nice made bed.
Yeah.
Because there's nothing more scummy, is it, than getting into a bed that's not been made.
Have you ever done that thing where even though you're getting back into it, you just make it to like walk out the room and then walk back in and get back in?
Yeah. I mean, but you feel like such a fraud, don't you? Because you know it's really happened. So honestly, that was a tiny thing, I guess. But honestly, I really do feel like it's just one of those little baby step things that made me psychologically feel better, that I was a bit of a more pulled together, grown up adult person.
I think they do tend to be centered around the really banal domestic things, don't they?
Absolutely.
Like, I can't remember. I reckon it would have been in the 80s the last time I ran out of toilet paper. So yay me. I mean, that's exciting milestone,
but can
right?
I just say,
that's very impressive.
Thanks.
But can I just say, though, I mean, this might be really lame, but I have to say, me and my old flatmate, male flatmate, I have to say, you do forget how much loo roll girls use. So we have to say, the second my sister would come to stay, or my mum, we would never have quite enough in the house, and I'd always feel like a massive failure. And it was a bit like, James, why can't you get enough loo roll in? It's like, we just forget how much loo roll girls use.
I shamelessly come home with those 16-pack Andrex under my arms, like, yep.
See, Joe and I fall out about this, because I get very tense about holding very large amounts of toilet roll, because I'm very British and very tightly wound.
Well,
so
I
for
think,
me, it's just quite mortifying.
But
you know?
I think like that's another adult milestone, to not be embarrassed about, you know, I'm going to be doing some weeing and pooing.
Where
I
do
need
you
it.
Stand on these super-sized value packs of toilet roll? I mean, it's a very important issue.
Well, I can't really say I carry one around particularly proudly.
I was going to say, because you don't get papped, do you?
No, that
would
be...
Well, yeah, I guess it's different for you. No one's going to care if I've got 4 or 16 up my arm.
Really?
I find you always get... It's those times you get photographed when you are actually carrying, like a you know, an embarrassing plastic bag of some description.
Yeah. Yeah.
But what is your, like, sort of domestic sort of thing around the house? You feel like you've mastered now, Jenny. You feel like an adult for doing it.
I think it's cooking for me.
Oh, really?
But even then, it's still things like, I still phone up my mum and dad and things like, Mum, how can you defrost prawns again? or you know, those certain things. So, I mean, that kind of still counts, I think.
Oh, God, absolutely.
It's like learning how, you know, how long things take to properly defrost and things like that. But certain bits of cooking, or like, I baked a loaf of bread entirely, but like, I mean, to be fair, like a year ago, but
no,
I'm
but
still very proud of that.
No, absolutely, I'd dine off that.
Yeah.
I think the first time I cooked Christmas dinner for everybody, like, that feels really grown up.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I think people feel a bit like that about Sunday roasts in general, because I think people think they're way more complicated than they are. They're actually not It's difficult.
But there's something of an achievement in it, isn't
yeah,
there?
That is true.
A Sunday dinner.
It just means that, yeah, you've become the grown-up. That's, you know, the mum or the dad mantle yeah. has passed over.
I
Do
mean,
you know what I mean?
You both stood up. Good job you're not sat down, because I actually, a few weeks ago, changed a fuse in a plug and I nearly actually, like, high-fived myself.
Yeah.
Because that was something I never thought I would ever even, first of all, figure out I would need to do, yeah. let alone actually figure out how to practically do.
Yeah. I did IKEA. I don't know how to do that. No, IKEA I mean, drawers and things like that.
Oh, I mean, flat
pack
furniture.
Or putting things together, I can do it. I
can you?
Do it.
Yeah. Oh, I can't. I'm always asking my husband before he dies to write down how to do the heating, how to work all the remote controls at the same time. And he always yeah. refuses, saying no, because now I know I'm of use while I'm alive. But it's like there's loads of things around the house that I don't know how to do. I'm a disgrace.
Yeah. Oh, I'm more into the flat pack furniture. That could definitely go on your friend ad, by the way, because yeah. I think lots of people out there would love to have a friend that's good with flat pack IKEA furniture.
Oh, am
furniture.
I putting my... I have to put my qualities down as well.
Yeah, I think so. It has to go two ways.
Great flat pack furniture.
Oh, my
maker.
God. You don't want to be that friend.
That needs to
I
on
really
the CV.
I really don't want to be that friend. No. I really don't.
No, it's not. I mean, yeah, it is funny, but I do think you're right. Weirdly, you get more satisfaction of those tiny weird things than you do from actual big career accomplishments.
Well, because I don't have many big career accomplishments, so I have to mine the joy in the tiny things, yeah. you know? Otherwise, I'd be really depressed.
In the never running out of toilet paper.
I always feel grown up if you get a bunch of flowers. That makes me feel, you know, if you go to the shop and buy like a bunch of flowers,
yes.
that makes me feel quite grown up.
That's a good one, actually. And I always say, well, I've said this before on the podcast, I feel I will only truly become a grown up when I remember to send everyone Christmas cards.
I always write them. And then when it gets to the bit with learning the extra three bits of the postcode.
Yeah.
So that's it. So in come June, I find everyone's Christmas cards stuffed at the back of my underwear drawer.
Yeah.
I did in my heart wish you a Merry Christmas.
Yeah.
Just not tangibly.
Yeah.
A genuine passion for stationery.
Well, digitally now.
Oh, yes, true. But a genuine passion for stationery, I think, is something I feel that I will grow into, because I think that then will feed the good admin of sending Christmas cards, birthday cards, yeah. thank you cards. You know, I'm not good at all that stuff.
That makes me feel very prepared.
Yeah.
I like it, like it's like buying a new gym kit or buying stationery or anything like that. Suddenly makes me feel like I'm equipped to do a job.
Well, there we go then.
Yeah, I think we're all so sound together people. Yeah,
I know. I need to work on buying more loo roll. Yeah. You need to work.
And don't be ashamed either.
I know. I need to get over that.
I'll buy it for you. I'm fine with it. I'll buy it.
She loves it. She lives for it.
What colour do you like?
Oh my God, only white. I'm the biggest toilet snob ever, toilet roll snob ever, honestly.
I feel like sending you a huge bag of
what about recycled toilet
roll? When I see people holding pink toilet roll, I'm like, and this might be a bit gross.
Well, maybe it looks nice in their bathroom.
But I was going to say, the thing is, it's a blank canvas and I just think it's never going to look good even on white. So why does it look better on peach or pink?
You can always tell. It's because there's an Australian here. We ended up talking about this. I'm so sorry. I really am.
Always dragging us down.
Yeah.
From the highs of Queen Victoria to basically bog roll. You're welcome, Jenna.
If you're more highbrow than this conversation, you know, has led us to, please do tune in to see Jenna starring in Victoria every Sunday night on ITV at the precise time of 9:05 p.m.
Gives you time to make your cup of tea and get ready.
Why is it 9:05?
It's edgy.
Really, I have absolutely no idea.
Yeah,
absolutely no idea.
It's like a power play thing, isn't it?
I think it's good.
Yeah. Not 9:05.
Makes it stand out a bit on the schedule, you know?
Yeah.
When you go in your sky finder, your planner, you know.
That I like your positivity, though. It gives you time to get a cup of tea.
Exactly.
It does, and means you're not going to lose any on the Sky Plus if you are Sky Plusing it.
Exactly. Yeah. Yes, because there's often that annoying overhang if you're recording something beforehand. I bet you there's some logic to this, you see. Mm. Anyway.
Yeah.
On that note,
but it's a really good show, despite us wittering on
9:05 every Sunday. Yeah. It really is fantastic, honestly, Jenny, because it feels like it's part of, you know, Sunday night tradition. It's like a welcoming hug on a Sunday night when you're all thinking, oh, I've got to go to work tomorrow. Oh. But at least Victoria's on.
No Sunday blues. Thanks.
Not exactly. Yeah.
Thank you so much for being here today, Jenna.
Thank you. Good to see you.
And yeah, we'll see you on a glamour cover again soon, she says, glaring at the publicist sitting in the back of the corner.
With Charlotte Church reunited on the cover.
Oh my God. Yes.
As long as I don't have to sing.
Oh, no. I've got it cute. What do you want? Agadu?
Yeah.
Wake Me Up Before You Go.
Yeah.
What else?
It was New York.
It's
the one I remember.
It's too soon to go back.
There may have even been some high kicks. I can't be sure.
Oh, we've got to find that footage.
Yeah. If you have any video.
Hold up.
What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.